In these turbulent financial times, securing your investments with gold and silver needs to be done today, before the next crash. Go to RepublicMonetary.com for our free information kit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence, one day after the summit. We had this weekend the Freedom Summit, all the big names we've been promising the whole time, promised a good time. We promised historical undertakings. We promised before and after historical marker. We promised that there was the entire planet before and after the Freedom Summit. And we were right. Were you there? No, you're going to. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to go ahead and have the opportunity to take time, because this is the first summit that we've done where we've had more than one camera. And we've had 4409 was live streaming the summit from a laptop, and we were taking questions from the internet for, you know, Thomas Woods and stuff for the dinner, and Coke Cash, you know, took some from the internet. And then we had everybody got to be introduced, and you kind of got to see the behind the scenes thing. And we're going to take a multiple camera videotaping, and we're going to put it into a DVD set that we're going to make it available to everyone. But don't think it anytime soon. It'll be, you know, when are we going to have that? Well, probably be something like next year. And we're going to do it. We're going to take the time. We're going to put it together. But there's a couple of my friends that came in that have been part of the activism that was the beginning of everything that you see from Freedom. In fact, the name Freedom's Phoenix, you know, we came up with back in 96. We already knew this. And the people involved in that 94, we had Judge John Buttrick was there. And he got to give his future of what he believed the Libertarian Party to be and such. Excuse me. And that first campaign from 94 was the template for the Ron Paul revolution that went national. See, we had already done it here in Arizona. We already knew. We knew. And two of the people that were very involved now live in Indiana, where Kent is continuing his education. Fran Van Cleve is a pharmacist and a novelist and science fiction writer. And just, you know, these guys, they got the big brain box. The RAM exceedeth. Their cup runneth over. So they can multitask a lot of stuff. And now they have a small child, Athena, that, man, they cup runneth over big time now. But they took the time to come. And my they remember when my kids were that age. And now my kids are married, having kids that age, and are watching their kid. You know, so Athena got to spend time where my son-in-law, big Gator fan, got to watch them lose for the first time this year at the suite upstairs so that they could attend it. And I wanted to just, before they're on their way to the airport, Donna's taking them. They got to spend time with some old friends and so on. We stay in touch on the internet and such. And they got to come in and just say hi. And I wanted Kent just say, man, did you have a good time at the summit?
Oh, had a fabulous time. And I wanted to say to everybody out there, all the Freedom fans out there, that if you missed the Freedom Summit, you missed it. It was fabulous. Before we go any further, I want to take the opportunity to say something that I was hoping to say in the question and answer period following the talk that Judge John Buttrick gave, the candidate for governor that Ernie just mentioned.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
I will not submit to authority of man. I'm alive, I'm awake. This is more than I can take. If you had an open door, would you kill a little more?
Jordan Page at the Freedom Summit. It was really cool to have him there. He's performing throughout the Revolution, right, and at the Revolution March in Washington, D.C., and when we went up this last summer, 4th of July, to launch Adam Kokesh's campaign for Congress in northern New Mexico, District 3, KokeshForCongress.com. And what we did is we got to hear Jordan Page just acoustic on the roof playing. It was freaking fantastic. So we invited him to come and took care of him and his wife, and it was her birthday Saturday, and she was sick. They had to take her to a clinic that just gets some antibiotics, so it really sucked. I mean, we were looking to have a good time, but we made it as easy on them as possible, and she's feeling better. But it was so we got all these CDs, but we were going into break. We're still plugging in stuff, trying to get everything ready, so we missed going to break, and Kent was telling a story. So I just, it was only about 5 seconds that they cut off. So go ahead and just finish your story, Kent.
Okay, I was talking about John Buttrick, who ran for governor as a Libertarian, and he was doing a guest host stint on KFYI, and one of the callers came in with a typical liberal line of, well, shouldn't people do this and do that for their neighbors? And it was a kind of a long litany, and he just let her go until she ran out of steam, and then after a moment of silence, he just said, voluntarily?
I know. I remember.
It was perfect.
It was. You know, we're going to let the Libertarian go ahead and have a say on 4th of July when they figured nobody was listening and the host wanted to take off, so they let him on there. And we're sitting there listening going, oh, come on, John. You know, let her. And he just let her go. It was, and you know, it was a plan. And I've used it so many times since then. And he just did voluntarily. And that just totally took the wind out. And so he had a great presentation also. And I wanted to, you know, just dwell on, you've been to Freedom Summits in the past, and we've done this for years. And did you get a different feel, or was it just a refreshing of good old times and different people, or what?
There was a level of energy like never before here, and I can tell you with pretty near certainty that it's because of the success, incredible success of the Ron Paul Revolution. People have been so energized by that phenomenon. They see for the first time the possibility that activism can actually make a difference in changing the hearts and minds of people around the country. And having Ron Paul himself here was no small thing. And I remember seeing him at the Freedom Summit several years ago, and it was a whole different situation there. It was, you know, Ron Paul, he's the guy in Congress that nobody pays any attention to in the Congress, and hardly anybody around the country even knows who he is. So here he is plugging away, doing the right thing all the time. He's, you know, that's great, but none of the sense that, you know, he was really accomplishing much. Now, after the campaign, he's a rock star. It's just fabulous. And everywhere he goes, people become energized once again and really want to do more things for the movement. So it was just a level of energy like we'd never seen before.
Fran, you know, it's a lot of times people miss seeing you. I miss having you around. We are really, really glad that you were able to come and spend time with us. And I know you had Athena, you know, to deal with, and I was glad that we were able to get you guys in the room a little bit and get to see everybody. What kind of time did you get to spend where you got a general sense of what was going on at the summit? How much time did you get to spend with the people?
Well, not as much as I would have liked, Ernie. It's just chasing after an almost 2-year-old is a pretty big job. But I did get enough of it. I mean, really, you could just walk in the room and feel the energy. It really wouldn't take that much time to do that. And I was really impressed with the levels of, you know, interesting insights and, as always, but and enthusiasm that people were bringing to, like, Adam Kokesh and his campaign and the Oath Keepers. Just, there was a, I don't know, I just felt really good about it. We get ignored by the mainstream, but it doesn't seem to matter.
Well, you know, I wonder, I mean, you guys were part of this before. Right, let's put it this way. We've known each other since 93, 94, okay? And we've each had our own direction that we've taken on different things. I mean, you guys, Kent was editor of Men's Magazine or something at the time. And, yeah, just go ahead and just don't touch it. Just leave it between you guys and share the mic.
There we go.
And being editor of the magazine and dealing with these kinds of minds, you would think there would be a logic and reason approach, and they just naturally evolved a libertarian kind of thing. And a lot of times we have a lot of people, Mensa, that came over, and you were a conduit for that. But you guys chose to spend a lot of time with just activists. I mean, you know, down getting fingers all coated with paint, and, you know, we've been doing this a long time. What you've seen, but back then, even back then, I was a lot younger. Heck, I was in my 20s and stuff. Has my attitude changed at all?
Oh, no. Ernie is still the ball of fire. I have yet to meet anybody who is more energizing in terms of getting people fired up to do things.
Yeah, well, now, this is my point, though, is that I need to know the difference between from me back then and now, which has been, I'm pretty consistent, you know, kind of on a high level, just, you know, here it comes, and, you know, freedom's the answer, what's the question, we're going to get there, we're on the way, the more oppression they do, the more bad stuff they do, just one day closer to freedom, you know, here it comes. Now all this stuff really starts to come full circle, you know, the revolution, that's what I call it, revolves, you know, here we go. Now that that's happened, I'm wondering what is it from people like you that lived it before and after? Now we're working to get it. We've creating a foundation, which you can see all the stuff that we do now. Heck, we still have Bob's printing press back there, you know, that we started a lot of this stuff with.
Oh, yeah.
We just keep adding on more equipment. Now that you see this, and Bob and I and Mike Duggar, which was, you know, the three of us were pretty much, you know, in the same mind, and you guys were in there too. But I was so certain of what was going to happen. Now that it has, and you see, okay, you know, I'm a believer now. I want to know, what was it that finally convinced you, that changed? You go, okay, I see this path. Yeah, we're still going to have ups and downs, and they're going to be the tyranny of, and they'll thermonuke something somewhere and do whatever. I mean, but it's and they're going to need to, because it's a battle for freeing minds. How many minds can we free? And if you keep that as the focus, you kind of slough off all the organizational crap that they're dealing with and you waste time with. What was it that changed where you go, okay, that, you know, there's hope. It is going to happen. You got to explain that to me and for the audience.
Sure. I think there are two key things that happened over the intervening years. One is that Ernie and the rest of the activists in the movement have been learning a whole new bag of tricks, and so they've become much more effective. The second thing is that they have been impressing and converting enough people, especially people with money, that they now have the support to do things on a much more sophisticated level. That's why you have this radio station here at the Freedom Phoenix Studios. So you had those two main factors that allowed this activist movement to really grow and especially to succeed on a larger scale. But the second thing, and I think Ernie was probably the instigator in this too, was the grassroots movement that grew up around the Ron Paul campaign. And it was just so totally energizing to see people responding around the world to the message that for the first time was happening on a large scale sort of level there. And that to me was the time when I realized, you know, there's really a chance for us to make inroads, significant inroads, with American people.
The one thing that I want to make clear to everyone is that these things happen with this. You know what I mean? These things happen because you're confident, you stay the course on one, the other stuff comes naturally. It's like you're always waiting on this one component that you need. Well, there's a beginning foundation that you never will see any of the money. You never will see any of the people. You'll never get any of the dedication unless you're principled and consistent and enthusiastic. That's the foundation. And nobody would get, we can't get the enthusiasm until we have the organization. I'm like, one, an organization? Who the hell wants an organization? Then you got to maintain it. This Tiger's Law kicks in, you know, and you guys know what that means. Go ahead and say goodbye, Fran. I know you guys got to leave, but you guys, you can say hello and goodbye to your
friends
here.
Yes. Hello, Phoenix. Goodbye. It's been so great being out here. I wish we didn't have to dash because I could be here another 10 years and not be tired of it. So,
is there a chance you guys ever might come back?
Well, yes.
You mean to live?
Yeah.
One chance only, and that is that once I get this doctorate out of the way and get hired somewhere, if that somewhere happens to be maybe ASU, that would be fabulous.
So we all need to encourage Kent to finish his doctorate, do we not?
Yeah.
That's what we need to do. Get on it, man.
All right. Thanks a lot, Ernie.
And we'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and we'll give you a full summary from Jet and my perspectives on the summit. And we just wanted to say hello and goodbye to some really good friends. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
I could listen to that for another minute. You know, now we get to relax. We can chill. Now we can go ahead and have positive conversations about because after a Freedom Summit, how can you not be positive? I've been doing this, our eighth one that we just done. And right after the show, we'll go down to the hotel and see how much they're going to try and hose me. But we probably didn't lose too much money. Maybe I made some. Because what I do, this is how it works. You can do the summit to make money. And you can do it just to maximize the fun and the enjoyment as much as you can possibly milk out of this thing. I mean, I'll give you an example. You can cut back on the breaks, and you can have less food, and you can do more make money stuff by not having certain things available in different breakouts. But then you have guests that come, like Jordan Page. He had 150 CDs. Well, people wanted him there to sign them and all that kind of, and he couldn't. His wife was sick. So I go, look, I want you to not stress about it. It looks like we're going to make a little bit of money. I'm going to buy all your CDs. Okay, got them, done. I'll make all the money. So he gave me a good deal on it. I just bought them. And in exchange, this was the deal that we made. We had Young Americans for Freedom from ASU there. And they need to hear his CD. This is just an awesome CD. Great. I mean, Bob Dylan wish he was this good. In fact, he has one song, to Bob Dylan, we need you back kind of thing. And what we did is I said, look, I'll buy all these, but this is the deal. He has a new album that he's working on. It's coming out. I said, on this album, what I'll do, I'll buy all your CDs. With the understanding that I'm going to bootleg the living snot out of it, okay? I'm going to bootleg it all you can imagine, thousands. And with the kids from ASU, the young men and women from ASU, I get slapped around when I tell you that, we're going to go ahead and make packets of these. We'll put one of the original CDs or whatever, we'll put it with a stack of five others. And what we'll do is make it MP3s of all of his songs and all of the speeches at the summit. They'll fit that on one CD, and if you do it in MP3, which all these guys know, they play MP3, all you old geezers, we don't know, whatever. But they do. I mean, they just put it in a computer, they convert it, goes in their iPods, they walk around all day. They prefer it to be an MP3, as a matter of fact. So it saves them that conversion problem. So we put all the speeches and all the music on one CD, and we'll do at least 10,000 of them will go all over Arizona State University, and on those we'll print, freedomsummit.com might make it on there, I think. And then we have, the Freedom Summit. We have It's Not My Debt. We'll put whatever the heck we want on there, And Thomas has got 15 gazillion different websites or whatever that he's putting on all these V for Vendetta masks and things anyway. Maybe some of our advertisers. We'll make a big woohoo out of it. And then we'll put it on these CDs, and we're going to have them, all of it, we'll put them under all the dorm rooms, all the frats, all over campus, and do that right when these guys come back from Christmas break. And the Young Americans for Freedom are going to help us with that, and they'll get some kudos and a little contact information on there for doing that. So that is how we roll. We make it, take advantage of it. Then we had the premiere, well, you know, not the premiere, but we had a big theatrical showing of For Liberty, the movie. Well, the directors were there, and people saw the movie. It was amazing. We didn't have as many people as I thought at the movie theater, and there was a reason. We go in, and we only had 100-something people. I mean, you know, they only held 230 or whatever, but and we did okay on it. You know, we didn't lose a lot of money or anything, you know, but it was really fun, and it was well-organized, and we had a good time. The reason was, I go in, I go, okay, now how many people have not seen this movie? Almost everybody raised their hand. I was like, what the heck, man? I figured they'd just come, you know, they'd seen the movie and they'd come and have fun and woohoo. But most of the people had not seen, they went because they hadn't seen. So I guess all the people that didn't come, I already saw it several times. And so it was amazing to me how many of the people that came had not seen it. When they saw it, they were like blown away, which I knew they would be. And I go, wow, this is going to be fun. You have 100 people there sitting, and we're going to enjoy this movie together. And it's their first time. And I was so excited because I knew what was going to happen. They were like, oh, my goodness, they were so inspired because it gave a great documentation of what really happened behind the scenes and how it manifested in the media and stuff, and what was going on and why it won't stop and continue. I mean, it gave you, I mean, this will be a movie that it's not like a cult movie or anything, as much as it is a documentary that will live on forever. And it's a point in history we have not had in past times and decades in the past, that you had the people on the streets during the civil rights movement, during abolition times of slavery, when you had fights for freedom, various different levels. You may have some pictures, you may have some newspaper clippings, you may even have some black and white newsreel, or even some color Walter Cronkite said, but you didn't have from the people there. You didn't have knowing exactly what was going on, why, the motivations, the explanations of the people, and the people from the press. It was great. Those movie makers are now doing music videos, going to work with Jordan Page and get him promoted. And he's going to be doing a college tour around the country this next year. This is what the summit is about. It's a summit. It brings these people together. So how much money did I make? I didn't lose any. I'm so happy. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Can't you see the future?
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Thomas Costanzo. Morpheus is in. He spent a lot of time working on the summit. I tell you, the movie event we had Thursday was heavily promoted by Thomas. You know, that was his big thing. He went, oh, you know, this is funny. The Valley, they call it Valley Art, right?
Yeah.
The Valley Art, Harkins Valley Art Theater is a very small theater. I mean, it's nice. They redid it. It's an historical landmark now and all this other stuff, and it's really nice. But what happened was they have a very, very small lobby. I mean, you could probably put maybe 3 sheets of plywood in there. And it's just large enough to have like a concession stand and so on, because it's at a university there. It's pretty nice. And out front, you got a wide sidewalk, probably 10 feet. 10-12 foot sidewalk out there. And so what Thomas did is he had a nice town car come in. I don't know where you got this guy that, you know, they'll chauffeur people in. So he put it in front and they back it up like 5 feet, and everybody guys would get in, people that are in the movie, and then you have the cameras rolling and it'd roll forward up 5 feet. Ooh, and they get out and everybody, yeah. Then he'd back up another 5 feet and they get the other guys get in and he'd come up again. It's all for the camera. You know, so we had fun with that. And then but tell me, man, you know, the movie, I was so surprised that there was such a high number of people that hadn't seen the movie. That really shocked me. And now they're just, you know, going nuts. And we made so many copies, hundreds of copies of this. And did we just give them out to everybody? I mean, how'd that work?
Well, we went down to ASU. We had that big box, and I'm not exactly sure how many videos was in that box, but we went down to ASU when Ron Paul was supposed to speak. What was really interesting, and it worked out perfectly, is Ron Paul's plane was 2.5 hours late. So now we had all these speakers having to fill the time because the people were coming in, and there were... You know, I took pictures, and I'm not a really good guess of how many people were there, but there was between 1,000 and 3,000 people somewhere in that range.
They claim 2,000, at least. So, you know, it was a lot.
I would say more, and, you know, I posted some of the pictures on the Campaign for Liberty meetup group, and I think also on your site, too, the other, the Freedom Summit meetup site, too.
Well, we'll start getting, that's another thing. We're so busy, all of us. I mean, we'll start this week. We'll start posting little trailers and teasers for the videos that are coming and portions of speeches and pictures and all that kind of stuff throughout the week. And we'll start, because there are so many people that go, do you mind if we videotape? Can we do cameras? Can we? I'm like, I don't care, because you know, I do it at your event, and I bootleg all your stuff, so I, you know, knock stuff out. So they were doing, and I bet you a lot of that stuff will start coming out.
Right. Yeah, but going back to ASU deal was, I started working the crowd. We went out with flyers, and first I went through with some DVDs, and then I ran out of DVDs, and I didn't want to carry that big box from where I had to park all the way, you know, a mile and a half away. So then after, and then I'm waiting around, wait, when is Ron Paul going to show up? And then I'm like, well, if you run right now, you'll probably be able to get more DVDs. So I ran all the way to the car and ran all the way back with this big box of DVDs, you know, all the ones I couldn't fit in my bag, and we're passing them out. I worked that crowd like three or four times, you know, going through. We had, remember all those yellow Ron Paul stickers, stickers, flyers, DVDs. So I must have worked that crowd like three or four times with all the paraphernalia that we had.
You know, we wanted to make sure that they knew, a lot of the students there knew that they were invited for lunchtime for the event of Jordan Page Plain and Adam Kokesh speaking Sunday for the lunch. And we said, look, because we just wanted them to come in, because usually a lot of times, you know, people start having to take planes or kind of filtering out. They saw the big Saturday thing. This was the first summit that we had at least as many people on Sunday as we did Saturday. You know, a lot of times it kind of filters down and people make relationships or start having fun, you know. Relationships are built. They're in the rooms, you know, whatever. You know, so the thing is that we had such a good time, and everybody knew, and that's why we put the vendors all in one room. A lot of people don't understand why I do that. They're like, well, you know, where's your vendor room? You got to do it with the speakers and everything. I go, that's why the vendor tables are only $75. You know, it's $75 a day. You get a vendor table, but you got to pay the attending fee because you get the listen to everything while you're in there. So during between speakers and breaks, and they just go over and they, you know, it's all part of the same thing. Plus, it makes it easier for logistics and the hotel, and I get to deal with everybody. Of course, I got to tell them, you know, shut up, quit, you know, sitting there yakking. Well, you want to talk, go out in the lobby. But, you know, in the room, you know, we're speaking, and except between the speakers. So what happens is, we have a very unique opportunity for people to socialize and share a common knowledge of what's being they're exposed to. But on Sunday, we wanted all of these students to be able to come. Well, there weren't that many. There was only a few. It was less than a dozen, but they were the right ones. They were the ones that were really involved. They were the ones that, you know, were enthusiastic, that live here, that wanted to, you know, get the information, that wanted to work with us on different things. They belonged to different organizations. They were the activists. You know, they may not be the shiny badger guy, which I so don't care. I'd just as soon not deal with them. But these are the guys that were activists, wanted to do it. Boom. That's exactly what I hoped would happen. And it's all the work you want to put. You'll put out 4,000, 5,000, 10,000 to get the right five guys. And, you know, that's what makes it. And that's what we do. We're always building five more and five more.
It's a game of inches.
Five more and five more. But we don't take steps back. You know, it's just five. Press four. It's like George Foreman. He comes out of retirement boxing. Yeah, he just kept going forward. You know, pound on him all you want. Boom. I love that fight. He's an old guy, 40-something years old. He just, nope, I'm not going back, man. He just fight. That was such a cool fight. Long story. But anyway, the thing is that we distributed all this stuff. I tell you what happened. I had just picked up one of the guys from Vegas.
at the airport, and I had the two filmmakers behind us. As we're going, ASU there, they wanted to go see. I was just going to drop the ads over there, and then I was going to leave. And we saw a Campaign for Liberty guy here in Arizona, and he's on the phone, and they're honking the horn. Hey, you know what's up? He goes, oh, I just got off the phone with Jesse Benton, the scheduler. They're going to be 2 hours late. We're screwed. And we're going to have to see if they can extend the mic, because you reserve the time of when you're going to have the stage there and all that kind of stuff on Hayden Lawn there in the middle of campus. And I go, well, we got Kokesh in studio in the morning with Jet. Jet's interviewing Kokesh right now. Hell, you know, they love Kokesh, you know, the Marine young guy running, you know, he's a great speed, you know, revolutionary. They know who Kokesh is. This would be great. Well, I got to call. I got to get permission. Permission? What? From who? I mean, you know,
for what?
Yeah, are you kidding? Fine, I mean, whatever, you know. But I knew they were going to be screwed. So I just said, it doesn't matter. I'm going to go back and get them. By the time we get back, they're going to be begging for them anyway. So we came in, let them finish the hour up with Jet, got in their RV, and went down with all, and they said, and you go, well, yeah, how when can you get them here? I go, we're on the way, you know. So we hand them off to, gave them to Ben Nichols, and Ben took them into the center of campus and got them there right in time. Boom, they put them up on stage. He rocked their world. At the same time, Jordan Page had just landed. Well, his bag was like lost, you know, one of the, with all his foot pedal and his effects and so on, and that became an issue. And we finally got that taken care of. But he had his guitar. I mean, he cares. I got my guitar, man. My guitar doesn't go anywhere. So he has his acoustic. And I said, you need two mics. You're from the same one that goes on the guitar, and you'll be set. So he said, oh, we got it. So he goes, I got to go to Taco Bell or something, you know, whatever, drive-thru. He was starving. So he just did the drive-thru thing real quick. Renee and Charlie, you know, got him there. And he went right up on stage, rocked their world with a couple of songs. And then by then, here comes Dr. Paul. So it worked out great. They got a great event, and it's just that organic, anarchist, you know, chaos kind of, it, you know, just let it go, man.
It's a ladder in the middle of the desert.
Well, this is what I find of interest. There is such an opposition to this kind of out-of-the-box thinking that they don't allow for this kind of stuff to organically happen. And I get that a lot at the summit. You know, we have kind of blocks of time or how this 2 hours is going to be filled. We're going to have lunch with, you know, Kokesh and Jordan Page. Well, exactly what time do I go on? When do I do this? When do I play for the dinner? How does it, who goes up first? I go, don't worry about it. Well, you should tell us. I go, you're assuming I know. I don't know. It'll work out, man. Don't worry about it. We're all friends here. We're in, you know, when they get done talking and they start getting red, well, you know, don't worry about it. Had a great time. You always have more fun that way. We have more fun because we allow for it. There's, you don't put, what do you think you put fun on a schedule? You know, so, oh, and here, we're going to have fun from 12:30 to 1 o'clock is fun. That's when we do the fun part. And I'm going, it doesn't work that way. And that's one thing that Fran and Kent, that's the point that I was trying to make at the beginning of the show. I've always been this way. I've always seen this is how we progress. And there's always people that want to offshoot, and they take whatever success we have and they want to organize it. They want to replicate it. They want to do it. And I go, you need to replicate fun, which is not on a schedule.
It no rules.
It doesn't work that way. Yeah. Where's the fun rule? You know, I wonder how they could get, you know, we're going to go and we're going to have fun. Well, you might say we're going to have fun here. We're all going to be together, and then the fun just starts. But you got to have the people to have fun with. So that's, you know, it's not a secret. It's just that it's so rare in this kind, you know, certainly political events that's kind of politically oriented that you don't see it. Well, so Dr. Paul gets there. He does his spiel. Everybody goes nuts. They have a good time. Then he does the book signing thing. And were you there for the hat? You know, it had Ron Paul 2012. Who did those?
No, I don't know who did them. And I didn't see when Ron Paul put it on backwards. But I was able to get on Channel 12 with my tyranny response team because I was right behind Ron Paul while they were filming. And I found out that I was on Channel 12.
what had happened, I think Shelton, 4409, got him to sign the hat, Ron Paul 2012. Well, he's staying away from that as much as possible. Ron is like, you know, we ain't even talking about 2012. That, you know, it'll happen on its own or it won't. He's not gonna press that. He's allowing for the fun, okay? We're not gonna organize. We got 2010 to worry about. We got the fall of the empire. There may not be a 2012 election. So he's like, you know, we're not gonna worry about that. Well, Shelton wanted him to put the hat on and take a picture. You get Ron Paul wearing a hat that says Ron Paul 2012, that's a starting pistol. So Ron goes, okay, I'll put the hat on, but he put it on backwards.
No, that's so funny.
So we got Ron Paul wearing a baseball hat backwards, and I haven't even seen the picture yet. I just keep hearing about it, but I haven't even seen it. So I'd like to see it. We'll get that posted up too. And then we had he went to some fundraiser thing for Republican, you know, Shiny Badgers on Friday night. Damn, right. I didn't even know what happened with that. And then, Shelton, that's right. He got a little mini laptop that he was broadcasting a lot of the summit live. Well, I think he did that at that event, too. And there were people that were most displeased. But, how are you going to stop the activists? You know, let it go, man. And then we had our Friday night event, which was the debate on, as a forum, you know, it was, should we replace the United States Constitution with nothing? And we had Butler Schaefer, constitutional law professor, Judge Buttrick, Thomas Woods. We had William Buport. He's a secessionist author on Lou Rockwell. He's done some stuff. We had Joel Skousen. No, I don't think he was on that panel.
No.
And then some of the other guys. It was really, really, really informative, entertaining, and interesting, you know, to take that kind of, oh, yeah, David Nolan, one of the founders of the Libertarian Party, you know. And you could see the guys are kind of, you know, hedging, you know. Well, you know, you're going to. And Mark Victor. And you might have some rules. You kind of, well, you know. So it was interesting to get people just thinking outside the box. That's what the pre-summit debate is about. It's like, look, we're going to go way out in there. We're going to be talking about we want the flavor for the summit to be. No, there's not going to be the, you know, like who you're going to vote for. It's like, you know, are you still voting? I mean, you know, it's just we wanted to be much wider palette, you know, to choose from, you know, the color or whatever. So then we had Saturday comes. We started it off. Mark and I did. Now, Mark, Victor's criminal defense attorney. This is the first year I had to do everything, all the MC and everything. Just because usually Mark helps. We team up on this. But he has a murder trial today. And he had to take the time to prepare. So he came only just to help me open it up and did his speech first, and then he was gone. So I'll check in. And he sent me emails wondering how everything went. It was fine. And I'm glad he at least got to come by. But he's carried me in years past. So, you know, we work as a team, so it's no big deal. But what happened was he did that. We had our other speakers in the morning. And then here comes Ron Paul. Well, again, you know, is it going to be a real pain in the butt and logistics? Yeah, you know, he came up. Okay, he's here. Comes up front like 2 minutes before he was scheduled to speak. He gets up. Everybody, woohoo! He had all their signs and stuff. And the people that couldn't afford to go to the summit, but they wanted to see Paul and be part of the sign wave. So he had a bunch of people out there. Then, of course, it's full inside. He does his thing, gets done, and we're walking, and we're walking. So we had security and, you know, just some activists and friends, some more mature activists there so that they feel more comfortable. And they took and walked him out. And Jean got to, you know, escort him, have his arm, and she got to walk around with him. She's so happy, you know, that she got to escort him up to speak and everything. So then Ron Paul's going out, and we're going to a sign with him. That was a deal we made. I go, look, when he gets done, before you leave, go out to the street, do a sign with him. Sign wave with everyone, get pictures. It's all good. He goes out there and boom, there are cars that are painted with Ron Paul 2012. There are signs being done. There are people going nuts. They want to take their picture with him, hold the sign. Jets out there with the Ron Paul Revolution. He and I got pictures with Dr. Paul. He's looking at the sign. Let me see what I'm standing in front of behind here. I want to know what this says. So he always does that throughout the years. He's like, hey, let me see here, you know. So then, so we got to do that. And he's done. He's happy. He's having a good time. He's like, wow, this was so uncomplicated. This is good. Got in the car, and there he goes.
I wonder how many other standing congressmen have done a sine wave.
I don't know. Well, yeah, anybody would do one with them. I mean, nobody who cares. You know? So we had a really, 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 really good time, and it continued. It just, you know, the tone was set early on, days before, from the movie and all these actors, and then the girls from Lola, you know, Ladies of Liberty Alliance. They had their own calendar that they do, and everything. They came in, and it's always, you know, yeah. What did V say? What's a revolution without dancing? And when you got beautiful women to dance with, and the party that was after Saturday night makes it even better. We had lots of fun. I'm sorry, you guys, if you didn't get to go, you didn't, but we'll have the DVD out, and you can share in just a little bit of the fun. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know.
Yeah, we're going to be spending a lot of time with Christmas carols this from now to Christmas, because I can. You know, and that's one thing. I really enjoy Christmas time for a lot of reasons. I mean, you know, people, a lot of times they don't need much of an excuse to be nice to each other, and that's a pretty good one. But my wife makes Christmas so fun because she just gets it. She's one of those, I like to make cookies. I like to make, you know, and this is one thing I'm going, you know, yeah, make all your blah, 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 blah. I want peanut butter cookies and ginger snaps. That's all. And they always get made last. I'm going, hey, man, I got a three-week window of all this, and all, you know, where's my, I'm getting to them. I go, how come they're not made first? I just want to know. Is there a conspiracy here or something? You know, what the heck? And she pats me on the belly. I'm like, oh, okay, there's a conspiracy. Yeah, whatever. Now, what we're going to do is keep going, kind of walk you through the summit, because I want you to share in, it's not just the information that was done, but the mood. But you got to have some variety. We have, you know, people that are representative, and we've gone over the list here on the show before, but we have people that are representative of the libertarian philosophy. Now, we don't all agree on everything. And I tell you, you know, a lot of these guys, they are not, you know, I put it this way. John Buttrick got married right a couple of months before the election in 1994 when he was running for governor. Mary Ann, beautiful woman, nice, sweet as heck. And I apologized to her for all the uncomfortable things that we had done to her over the years. Because, you know, John's the kind of liberty, you know, the kind of rational, cool country club, kind of, you know, that good representation of libertarianism, just the kind that they never cover in the media. And what happens, but he's hardcore, no compromise. But the thing is that, you know, we're out there doing crazy stuff, raffling off AR-15s and, you know, lost A-10 Warthogs and stuff. I mean, we're doing all kinds of things. They're just going, you know, taking guns to Obama appearances. I mean, it's just that kind of stuff. And I remember one time when we had a parade, and it was we're in this parade, and we had a music behind it, and we did just 10 seconds of it, but we're playing this song, Everybody Must Get Stoned, you know, just to kind of, you know, set the mood for the activists, and we're having fun, and then we go into the thing. Well, this kind of stuff just had to eat on her. I mean, so we apologize. But as time has gone on and the 15 years has gone by, she's kind of seen how it all weaves together. It sets a tone. It opens up the envelope. It expands the discussion. It demonstrates what is. And this is the kind of people that have the revolution, the Lovelution, have now started to marry with the activists, and there's a lineage here. The filmmakers that did For Liberty, what they did is they did a film about the Ron Paul revolution. But they didn't make the connection with all the stuff that went on even decades before that, when Ron Paul ran for Libertarian president in 1988. Well, he had opposition inside the party, just like Barr did, because he was a freaking Republican. He was pro-life. Oh, my God, you know, a pro-life libertarian presidential candidate. But he argued it from a principled standpoint and had a big impact in the party. You know, there are people that be pure libertarian and advocate for non-aggression against people. They just happen to be in the womb. I mean, you know, so it's a principled, consistent stand. Well, what happened then was, you know, they're starting to come together now because they're seeing how much we have in common. But they got to see the lineage. You have Butler Schaefer that knew Ayn Rand, that knew the guys back in the 50s, Lefebvre, and all, you know, the core of a lot of this activism, the philosophy that had been vetted and talked about and written and had an influence on guys like Thomas Woods. So they come in talking to David Nolan, one of the founders of the Libertarian Party. So now they have a much better, wider perspective to draw from for the sequel. They're all coming together at the Freedom Summit.